The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judea, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt with joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
The promise he made to his children forever. The promise he, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit made to his children forever. Father Mike and I, in just joining y'all and being with y'all and journeying, because we're all on this journey together, we're journeying somewhere, and it's exciting to see the college students. Most of them have already got out the door and heading on their way. Some are about ready to go, and they're excited about journeying to their next step, maybe another school or maybe another, their first year, first time ever out of the home. But we're journeying beyond even that. We're all on this journey to the promise that God continues to make to his children, and he will forever. So Father Mike and I, we've had the grace of being at the baptismal font and meeting so many of our amazing, beautiful families who have come to bring their children to that font. Father Mike will have 4 or 5 baptisms after the Spanish Mass. We kind of flip around a little bit. I had 8 yesterday. And it's awesome. And in that rite, it's so beautiful because it begins, whether it's the deacon or the priest leading that rite in the church, standing on behalf of the church, offering the support to the family. The very first question asked is to the parent. What name do you give your child? What name do you give your child? So they respond with a name, you know, Ashley or John. Then the second question comes, what do you ask of God's church for Ashley or John, or the child's name? And every now and then, not always, you see just the absolute beauty come out of the heart of a mom or a dad at the font with enthusiasm and maybe with a loud voice. They're like, good health, a long life, a lot of friends, and hopefully they get to do this, this, and that. And I always kind of pause and go, well, I can't offer that. But what I can't offer is new life in Christ, and it's Jesus who's going to work through me. Because when I say, I baptize you, or Deacon Larry says, I baptize you. It's Jesus working through our hands, through our voice, to bring what he gained for all of us and for our Mother Mary, which was applied in advance to her, the grace of baptism, the gift of baptism, and above all, the first fruits in that sense of what he wanted to do to keep his promise forever, which is eternal life. In a life that can begin on this earth. And so actually the second question the parents respond is, baptism, we want baptism. But it's good. It is good. New life in Christ. You know, there's a title for Mary, and we're celebrating this assumption of our mother into heaven. And we're not just celebrating it as a memory or a moment in the liturgical year, but in the sense of a memory, in the Jewish word, zikaron. Zikaron, like the Passover, means a living memory. You are present with Moses. Talk to any of your Jewish friends that sit around the table at Passover. They will tell you that it's not just a memory. It's we are with Moses. We are in a living memory. In God's plan, we are the chosen people we're doing. And so when we come to Mass every Sunday, and when we have these special liturgical moments like this, what are called solemnities, they're solemn because it's lifting the whole church up in a beautiful way. And it's not only us, but it's also the heavenly liturgy. Whether we see it or not. Whether we feel it or not. And so to know, imagine, next time we come into church, I got to activate my faith when I come in. Think about that. That your voice is echoing in heaven. All your responses, everything you bring, your active participation is echoing up there. And Mary, our mother, is hearing that in her body because she was assumed into heaven, body and soul, was not incorrupted. She wasn't corrupt. She was incorrupt like her son. And do you know a title? One of the titles for Mary is Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant. Now we have an image of the Ark of the Covenant here. It's an image of it. It's wood. It's an image of an Ark of the Covenant. But Mary, as the new Ark of the Covenant. So we know that David had the temple. Solomon had the temple. David came later, and David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Brought it in. And went through his journey to bring it in. Do we know what was in that Ark of Covenant? If you don't, that's okay. I didn't know till someone taught me at one point, later when I was a priest. What was in that thing? Now we know the bread of life is in here. Jesus, the sanctuary lamp tells us. In the Ark of the Covenant was a gold kind of ciborium type thing that held the manna from the desert. Manna, which literally means in the word manna, what is it? They didn't know what it was, but they called it the bread of angels that came down, and they saved some of it and they put it in a gold, sound familiar? Ciborium. Also in the Ark of the Covenant was the staff of Aaron, shepherding the people, the chosen people, into what? The promised land. And also in the Ark of the Covenant was the tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments. And it was the true belief. We knew from when we read the Old Testament that there was a tent in the desert. And it was known that God, the cloud came over and covered over that. The cloud prefiguring the Holy Spirit. Ark of the Covenant. Old Testament. But let's look at Mary with the title of the Ark of the Covenant. She said yes to God. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her as a child. She goes in her first action to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And she's the first ever Eucharistic procession through the mountains. She's the first tabernacle. She's the Ark of the Covenant because she carries in her womb the bread of life, who was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, a feeding trough. And Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Mary carried the bread of life in her womb. She carried the good shepherd, Jesus, not a staff, but the good shepherd in her womb. And she carried the one who came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it in love. Man, our faith is so rich. So when we think of Mary being assumed in heaven, body and soul, her body, like our body, is a temple, is a gift from God, and it's now glorified in heaven. I've been to the Holy Land, and there's different stories, depending on tradition. You know, we can kind of like, I believe this, I believe that. One of them is that Mary just kind of fell asleep, a dormition, and she didn't die. She just fell asleep. Another one is she died, but her body was not corrupt like Jesus, and she was assumed into heaven. I tend to believe that she died because Jesus died on the cross, so she died. She took her last breath. Breath was incorrupt, and her body, she was taken up to heaven. Father Mike and I have been to the Holy Land. This is stuff from the year 200 or whatever that the early church followed and believed. So Mary, Ark of the Covenant, brought up to what? The New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. So Mary comes into the heavenly Jerusalem. David, the king, brought into Jerusalem the Ark, and the most important person, most powerful intercessor in the time of David the king and the kings of the time was the Queen Mother, who sits at the right of the king. People would go to the Queen Mother and say, hey, go to your son, cut me some slack, give me a break. Moms, you know this, because sometimes people come up to you and say, hey, you know, your son's kind of annoying, man. You know, can you just kind of give him a little nudge? Do the whatever. Or teacher, go to the intercessory prayer. And Mary did that. So the reality is, this Sunday and all day, Jesus, we're going to profess in a moment with our creed, is seated at the right hand of the Father. And to his right hand is the Queen Mother. Interesting. Remember James and John? Their mom coming up and say, hey, well, you know, I just got to ask you a question. Jesus says, ask anything, what can I do for you? She says, well, when you enter in your kingdom, can our sons, James and John, can they sit at your left and your right? And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup that I will drink? And the mother didn't respond. James and John respond, we can drink that cup. We can follow you. We can do it. Yeah, yeah, give us a little of that. We want to be part of your kingdom. And then Jesus said, my kingdom, that's not for me to give. That's already decided who's going to be at my left and my right. Because Jesus knew that to his left was going to be his heavenly Father, and to his right was going to be his mother Mary, and that James and John were going to be asked to participate in something that was going to make them get seriously uncomfortable in their life. It was going to make them get uncomfortable as Mary lived her life as a model following Jesus Christ, being uncomfortable. Jesus Christ does not say to his followers, I tell you, pick up your pillow and follow me. It's going to be comfortable. It's going to be great. He says, take up your cross and follow me. But I promise you, it's going to be through the cross to the resurrection. We're going somewhere, and I'm taking you there. And your suffering on this life is going to be your glory in the next life. So, for James and John and the apostles, the sons of thunder and all that stuff, they didn't know what they were getting into. And John didn't know at the beginning, when Andrew and them, at the beginning of John's gospel, come up and they see the master. Hey, where do you stay? Jesus didn't say, well, you know, listen, guys, I got to kind of tell you everything. Let me tell you kind of where to stay. First thing, you know, I have nowhere to lay my head. You know, not even foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head. So come with me. You're not going to sleep anywhere. You're going to be outside a lot. Oh, and on top of that, we're going to go and everybody's going to start talking bad about me and talking me down and all that stuff. You may see me walk on water, but don't worry about me walking on water, because after that, I'm going to challenge you and tell you I'm the bread of life and you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you're probably going to want to leave. But anyways, and then eventually we're going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die on a cross and you're going to be sitting there abandoned and you're going to run away from me, by the way. And John, don't worry about it. You'll be with my mom. You still want to come with me? I don't know about you, but if I was them, I'd be like, huh? Jesus, what he said is he said, just like St. Mother Teresa Calcutta. Hey, what you doing? I want to see. I want to go work with the poor. She would say, okay, fine. Come and you will see. Come and you will see with your heart. Come to Mass on Sunday and see with your heart. Look beyond your watch. Look beyond all the other activities. Look and let your heart seek up to heaven and draw the strength of heaven to carry you into the next week. Into the next week. And let Mary carry you into the next week. The Queen of Heaven assumed into heaven the Ark of the Covenant. You know, Mary understands us. She's real. Her life was tough. Her life was hard. When she said yes to the angel as a teenager, and everybody in the town saw that she was a teenager, and she just said, all of a sudden she conceives and it's outside. Think of the gossip around the well, the different things that she was challenged with that hurt her immaculate heart. You think sin hurts us? She had an immaculate heart without sin. And all of that goes down to Bethlehem. Goes down there and there's no room in the inn, nowhere to stay. Has God abandoned me? We got nothing, Joseph? No, she trusted in our Lord. And then all of a sudden, Herod's coming to kill her child. And she has to flee and take confidence in Joseph, who comes and says, I had a dream. I believe you, Joseph. Let's go. And goes to Egypt, a foreign land. Then comes back and she's in Nazareth for 30 years. And in one moment, Joseph dies. Jesus witnessed Mary, his mother, at the side of his foster father, gasping his last breath, the prayers they prayed, her tears that fell. And Jesus is there wanting, probably in his sacred heart, to say, I know everything, Mom. I want to tell you it's going to be all right, Mom. One day you're going to assume to heaven, and it's going to be all right. You're going to be with Joseph. We're going to be up there. But God sometimes does not reveal all the glory to us at once. And so the Son of Living God, who loved his foster brother and his mother, witnessed that. So Joseph passed. So Mary knows what it's like to be a widow and not have a spouse who she loves and to be alone. And then it continues. He goes out and preaches, and she hears the gossip. She hears the clatter. She's trying to tell people about her son. Her son's trying to tell them about but some people are so full of pride, so full of their stuff, that they want to shoot the scuttlebutt and throw Jesus under the bus, and some want to kill him. And then it happens. She finds herself at the foot of the cross, witnessing the death, horrific death of her son, our mother of sorrows. She's at the foot of your cross. She's at the foot of my cross. She's at the cross of every single person who suffers. She's there at our side, praying for us, accompanying us, never leaving our side, because she was faithful and kept God's promises. She keeps those promises. Then she surrounded the apostles alone after Jesus ascended into heaven, built them up in confidence. I believe, too, that she was at the Last Supper with all those holy women serving in the background, setting things up, getting things right. And I'm sure Mary, when she talked to those first apostles, John and all them, she goes, don't put me in any book. If you're going to put anything, I want my last words to be John chapter 2, even though she probably didn't say that to John. Chapter 2, verse 5, do whatever he tells you. That's our Mother Mary's invitation to each one of us today when she's seated at the right-hand side. Do whatever he tells you. Know my son. Let his words speak to your heart. Come before him and sit with him in the Blessed Sacrament. Take your concerns and worries to him. Listen to him as he speaks to you through his love with his Father, which is the Holy Spirit, and let him guide you. I'm going to close with this. Here's the reality. Have you ever thought of yourself as an Ark of the Covenant? Have you ever thought about what you truly receive when you come here? We receive God into us, speaking to our hearts through his living word and coming to us in the Eucharist. And he's the one said, I will give my flesh for the life of the world. We are the ones that are called to bring his life out to our world. Death, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is not an end. It's a change. It can be a scary change. But we as followers of Jesus Christ in these times need to take confidence and point others with hope to a God who loves them and has a plan for them, and there is life after this life. Death is not an end. It is a change, and Jesus will crush that at one point. And we need to be men and women, boys and girls of hope, who bring that hope to a world in a time when most people are afraid and they're anxious and they're worried and they're afraid to die, and even followers of Jesus Christ can be that way. It's real. But we're called to another life. And we're called to bring life to this life. What is the Holy Spirit calling you to do? What is the Holy Spirit challenging you to do? If you're a mother or a grandmother, it's hard. It was hard for Mary. If you're a young adult or teenager, it's hard, and you're carrying a cross. Mary was a teenager too. If you feel alone, if you feel abandoned, she's there. My brothers and sisters in Christ, she didn't assume to heaven by God's power to be far from us. She assumed to heaven to be at her son's side to pray for us and all humanity. As she magnifies the Lord in heaven, let us magnify the Lord in this worship, because God keeps his promises.